This is Chris Kerner speaking in for John Stadtmiller this afternoon. A first for me and John. We've never really stood in on each other's broadcast in the past, and so this is a first, an engineered direction that is going to be beneficial for our country all the way around. As I can see in your listening audience, I can hear that people are kind of excited this is happening, and certainly John and I have buried the hatchet. Usually when conflicts like this arise, it's from lack of communication in our own lives and what we do with ourselves as we go about our days. But I'm happy to be here. I should be here tomorrow as well. And the situation with our country at this point in time is it's a Hegelian scenario. It's a Hegelian dialectic. Things are created for us. A perfect example at this point in time is Friday's edition of the Oklahoman. That's where I presently reside, in Oklahoma. The Oklahoman is the newspaper I subscribe to, and the front page is a perfect example of the Hegelian dialectic, listeners. And if you want to call in today, it'd be great to hear from you. 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443 is the number to call in. That's 800-313-9443. That's 313-9443, an 800 number on the network Republic Broadcasting. Wow, what amazing thought pattern to be here today. Here we see barbaric London reels from attacks. Front page, entire front page. Blair says politics won't be changed. Nations mourn, remain watchful. What is this but the UK's, the United Kingdom's 9/11. The second page, I didn't hear anything, just a flash of light. The entire page is devoted to this that happened. On the third page, Londoners ask, what's next? Blair vows to keep government policy. Prime Minister Tony Blair made clear in a televised statement Thursday that the government policy would not be affected by Tuesday's violence, and certainly what is the government's policy? Integration of the nations into the global umbrella of the United Nations system. That is the situation that we have today, listeners. It is by design. It is being maneuvered and manipulated on a daily basis. This is the problem that most Americans have no clue. And there is the situation. I go to page four. Homeland Security authorities watchful at mass transit systems. U.S. terror alert were raised to orange. Police scour nation's capital. I'm only on page four, listeners. This is the National Intel Report. I'm filling in for John Stadtmiller. This is Chris Kerner. I'll take your calls if you'd like to call in today. 800-313-9443.
Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And welcome back to the broadcast. Chris Kerner filling in for John Stadtmiller. John had a brush with death on the motorcycle, as I've had many brushes with death on motorcycles in the past. And it's just amazing how we kind of got together over that. Just amazing, and I'm glad God saved him. I'm glad God saved me, and I know why he saved me, so I can do this. Try to wake up our country about the deceptions we've been living our entire lifetimes. A perfect example, in my opinion, is the Congressional Medal of Honor, an upside-down five-pointed star. Lucifer's symbol, when you do the research, that's what it is. Lucifer's symbol, the Congressional Medal of Honor, an upside-down five-pointed star. The call-in number once again, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We have Dave in Arkansas, John in Arizona, and Jeff in Massachusetts. Dave, welcome to the broadcast, Dave.
Hello, Chris. It is sure good to hear you on the air, brother. It's been a long time.
Long time no speak, my friend.
Yes, it's great to hear you, Chris.
Well, it's good to be on with you, and I know you're very dedicated to waking up our country.
Well, words are infinite. It takes action. Words are cheap.
Yes.
It does take action. Action, action on everyone's part. And it's high time everybody got unified here and quit the petty bickering back and forth.
Absolutely. Beating up on directions that have no bearing on the situation are going to be our end.
Well, you know, these other people, you know, they are masters at divide and conquer. Let's quit playing into their game, huh?
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Divide and conquer has been done throughout history. I think Sun Tzu addressed it very well.
Absolutely so, Chris.
Yeah.
Well,
war is made by deception.
Yeah, and of course, the first casualty of any war is truth.
And that's where we are right now. We're at the stages of World War III, the opening stages, in my opinion. World War III, according to certain sources from the past, have stated World War III would happen in the Middle East. You have Russia and China with their partnership from the very, very beginning. They never split up, according to Hans Molina and other people. Hans Molina is the anticommunistanalyst.com. I'll be bringing him on this network soon. He's a former Czechoslovakian Republic defector. He knows what he sees, and he's very, very concerned about our country.
And I'd love to hear him. He's been there and done that, and he sure knows firsthand what he's talking about.
Don't we need to learn from people that have been there in other countries?
Well, it's too bad the people wouldn't listen to Solzhenitsyn even.
Good point. That's a very, very good point. And then you have, oh, shoot, the name slips me, New Lies for Old, Anatoly Golitsyn.
Yes. And you know what this kind of points out to me, Chris, is that most Americans, unfortunately, appear to be the most naive and uninformed people on the planet.
Well, when you understand how we've been dumbed down starting in the 1930s and the drugging down starting in the 1960s, the State Department going communist in the 1960s, in 1960, according to Joan Vion, doesn't it bode well that they've done a good job?
Absolutely so. And wasn't it Lenin that said all he needed was one generation?
Well, it was one of them.
And here, my gosh, we're, what, in fourth or fifth generation even?
Well, we are certainly the generation that's going to take it if we don't get active and educating everyone we could possibly educate.
Well, I guarantee you one thing, Chris. You know, the legacy that we leave our children is on our watch now.
Yes. Well stated. It's an obvious scenario that's in place, and I sure appreciate you being there, Dave.
Well, it's so good to hear you, Chris. God bless you.
You weren't listening to me on the other network, I take it.
No, time's... schedules and one thing, you know, just, but I'm glad to see you sitting here right now.
Well, thank you, my friend.
And you take real good care.
I will do my best.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Dave. Dave from Arkansas, I've been listening and talking with him for years. John in Arizona is the next caller. Welcome to the broadcast, John.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I've been reading a very good book by Colonel Don DeGrand Prix, and he says that if we don't control the seven M's, there's no way we're going to get this country back. That's money, media, markets, medical, mind, morals, and muscle. And he said the thing is currently right now the one worlders control five of those seven, which is the money, media, markets, and the mind, and almost most of the morals. So I don't see how, if we don't figure out a way to take back the media and our money, how are we going to win this battle?
Well, you have a very good point. But this is the media right here.
Right.
And apparently this is growing over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm associated with another network that has opportunities. If we can spread the word through the internet and the websites, we are making a difference right now because people are starving for information right now because things aren't making sense. And yet things are happening to the point where it's affecting everyone in their pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly with those that have families, both the husband and wife have to work. That wasn't the case 30 years ago. And yet the children are being indoctrinated. People are very, very upset right now, and so the opportunity is never better than right this minute.
Well, I can tell you we're definitely ripe for a civil war or a revolutionary war, I should say, here in the United States. You know, the issue, I guess, would be is to restore our constitutional republic. And actually, in Don DeGrand Prix's book, he said that if something isn't done very soon, it says that we must either unify now and turn against the enemy within, the barbarians inside the gates, and defend the Constitution of the United States, or the other choice is meet our fate. Of course, we'll all be put in the gulags that have already been built here in the United States.
Oh, how could you say such a thing? Concentration camps in America?
There, Bill. He puts it right in his book.
You know, those that have tried to dispel concentration camps by doing their own research have always come back and said, yes, they're here.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to believe it up until about 2 years ago, until I watched one of Alex Jones's tapes.
Uh-huh.
And then I started researching it, and I found out, yes, there are concentration camps built. And, yes, there are U.N. troops here in America. And, yes, there are U.N. tanks and U.N. military, you name it, they've got it. In fact, I had a buddy in Colorado this last week. He said they were moving all kinds of U.N. tanks around. He saw them, white tanks with U.N. symbols on them. So,
well, wouldn't we like to see some photographs of that? And why would they be so bold as to do something like that?
Well, I don't know if they're getting planned for something here pretty quick or what, but
it would be very important to get that documented with some photographs because certainly I don't think many of us have seen a United Nations white tank, have we? Wouldn't that be nice to see?
I haven't seen one myself, but he said that, and I don't know if he had taken pictures of them or not, but I can ask him if he had.
That would be fabulous.
Yep.
You know, I see here in the Oklahoman, dated July 10th, Sunday's edition, a gigantic article dealing with BRAC, base realignment and closure, and how they're maneuvering bases. And when you hear base realignment and closure, what are they realigning for?
Well, I know what they're realigning for.
Yeah.
I happen to serve at one of those bases that they're realigning. I served in the New London, Connecticut base. I was stationed on a ship in New London back in the early 90s.
Uh-huh.
And I know they're closing down the New London and Groton, Connecticut base there, and I'm sure that will probably be some type of concentration camp for that eastern seaboard over there.
Well, so, there's no doubt in my mind that machinations are being put into place to deal with those that are going to object. So all we can do is increase our numbers. And those on the inside need to understand what they're a part of. That's why a true American hero is Joe Bannister, who, you know, he gave away his future for his retirement by declaring that he's not going to be a part of the IRS any longer because, you know, there's no real law that says you have to pay an income tax, and yet they enforce it. It's right on the front of their manual.
Right. I think everybody that's listening right now should make it a priority to actually try to inform the insiders, being our military and anybody that's affiliated with the federal government, if they aren't aware of what's going on, to inform them and make them aware of what's going on.
That's a very good point. And Michael News' website, which is in other links of my website, has all the different branches of military and all the people in the military that are speaking out against the treatment of Michael New. And it's very, very, very informative information.
Huh. Okay. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, John.
Okay, have a good one.
You too, my friend.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. The situation in this country, listeners, is a long drawn out plan, a long drawn out scenario. It's a communist conspiracy, and the U.S. Code says so. It's Title 50, Chapter 23, Subchapter 4 of the U.S. Code, Section 841, Findings and Declaration of Fact. And we'll take Jeff in a moment. Congress finds and declares that the Communist Party of the United States, although purportedly a political party, is in fact an instrumentality of a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. It constitutes an authoritarian dictatorship within a republic, demanding for itself the rights and privileges accorded to political parties, but denying to all others the liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. There's more to this. It's on the top of my website, AmericanExpose.com, America spelled with a K. You need to see this stuff, listeners, that Darren and Dennis have put up on the website. I'll be right back. Take your calls, 800-313-9443. Stay with me. And welcome back once again to the Intel Report, the National Intel Report. John Stadmiller, Chris Kerner filling in for John Stadmiller today. A first in my 9 years of broadcasting, and certainly happy to be here. Before I take another call, I described to you on the front of the website, AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K, not a C, AmericanExpose.com, at the very, very top on the left, is the fact that in the U.S. Code, it states that there's a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. Next to that, to the right, is the Communist Party USA. And they have a statement by the Communist Party USA on today's attacks in London. They say the Communist Party USA condemns the series of bomb attacks today in London, dated the 7th. We condemn all terrorist attacks targeting civilians with violence, whether conducted by individuals, governments, or groups. The number of casualties is as yet unknown, but the devastation and loss of human life of every race, religion, and nationality is severe. Today's attack should be treated as a criminal act and not as an excuse for further war, attacks on civilian liberties, and military aggression. That is the statement they make. That's a statement similar to what we would think as well. The whole point is that there is a communist conspiracy in America. It's called communitarianism today. But here we see dealing with Iraq. The Communist Party is alive and well in Iraq, listeners. And this is from the National Committee, Communist Party USA, to the Central Committee, Iraqi Communist Party. Dear comrades, please receive our warmest congratulations on the mass demonstration organized by your party in Baghdad on the occasion of the Iraqi National Day, the 45th anniversary of the July 14th, 1958 revolution. This beautiful demonstration by the Iraqi Communist Party and your supporters symbolizes the outstanding role you are playing in the struggle to win a democratic and sovereign Iraq under conditions of the illegal and destructive occupation by the United States and Britain. With warm camaraderie, wishes for your continuing success, the National Committee Communist Party USA. So, don't be buffooned, listeners. It is on our website, the Iraqi Communist Party, and it's all very, very easy to connect dots now that we have the Internet. Let's take another call, and that number, once again, is 800-313-9443. Jeff in Massachusetts, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, yes, indeed. How's it going?
Fine, thank you.
Well, you ever read the book Through the Eyes of the Enemy by Stanislav Lunev and The Origins of the Fourth World War by J.R. Nyquist?
Neither one, but I know very much about Jeff Nyquist. Go right ahead.
Well, anyways, I was thinking about scalar wave technology and advanced technology that the Russians have. On page 31 of the Stanislav Lunev book, they talk about technology that can influence the human brain and turn people into a zombie-like state, and it's a tool in brainwashing. And I read about the defectors and people like that, and you're right. We have got to read about the defectors because these guys know what they're talking about. People like Anatoly Golitsyn, people like General Jan Stasia.
Yes.
And, I mean, people that most Americans wouldn't even know who they were.
Absolutely.
And they're pointing out that basically the Russians have us by the throat.
Well, the Russians tied in with the communist Chinese, It's just most obvious to me that it's always been a partnership. They split up for our consumption, our dumbing down process, and them allied together, and certainly they are militarily building up at an alarming rate. As a matter of fact, Condoleezza Rice is even concerned about it, and she's a closet communist. So with Russia and China, and Russia's the sleeping bear, oh, man.
Right.
This is very, very concerning to me as well.
You're right. And let me get even deeper. I was looking at a website called cuttingedge.org.
Yes.
And on that website, it talks about how the scalar wave technology of Russia can influence the weather, and it's more advanced than our technology. It can shield their country against missiles and everything. In other words, it made the ICBM missile obsolete. That's why we're not doing anything. That's why we're such a paper tiger. It's just like the movie America with Kris Kristofferson.
Yes.
And I almost hate to say that we're screwed, but according to the website and according to what I've read, it doesn't look too good for patriotism in America.
Well, I understand your point, and they've had a long time to multiply and infiltrate, and I don't know what tomorrow holds for us. I'm very, very concerned as well. Certain people have talked to me about sounding so depressed on the air. But, yeah, I agree.
and that's the scary part. I mean, I like to be optimistic, too, but when the facts are laid out to you, and I'm not talking about the stuff that's spun out in the media and the mainstream talk shows.
Right.
I mean, it's actually pretty depressing because, you know what, there's another America that's infiltrating this country through illegal immigration, through our open gates.
Yeah.
And the native-born Americans are getting older and older and older and older. And I think we have a window to get this country back, and that's when the baby boomers die off.
I appreciate your thoughts. I'll comment on that upon our return. Thanks for your call, Jeff. We'll be right back with more of this. Executive Order 13107, Implementation of Human Rights Treaties.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
And welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Chris Gerner, filling in for John Stadmiller today and tomorrow. Soon to have a broadcast very, very shortly here. And getting the phone system set up. And it's just amazing. Now, listeners, as Jeff was talking about upon our conclusion of his section here, going to the commercial pause, we go to Title 8, Chapter 12, Subchapter 2, Part 7, or Part 8, Section 1324 of the U.S. Code, bringing in and harboring certain aliens. And you can understand what's going on with the laws and the fact that they're being usurped by executive orders, executive order dictatorships. It's against the law to bring in aliens. It's very, very obvious when you read this information from the U.S. Code. Hey, here's a little section. Any person who, and this is down a ways, any person who knowingly or in reckless disregard of the fact that an alien has not received prior official authorization to come to, enter, or reside in the United States, brings to or attempts to bring to the United States in any manner whatsoever such alien, regardless of any official action which may later be taken with respect to such alien, shall, for each alien in respect to whom a violation of this paragraph occurs, A, be fined in accordance with Title 18 or imprisoned, not more than 1 year or both. And it goes on. It continues. But keep in mind, in 1998, President Clinton signed Executive Order 13107, Implementation of Human Rights Treaties. It was the 50th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, formed in 1948, December 10th. Eleanor Roosevelt was behind the creation of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And it became law of the land by a pen signed by William Jefferson Clinton. And certainly that is the situation we live today. Wouldn't it be nice to know what it's like to live under a constitutional republic? We have never done it in our lives. The Constitution is there in name only, to be used and utilized as they deem fit. But we're dumbed down. We aren't taught about the Constitution in the schools. We're taught about globalization. Let's take another call. And once again, that call-in number is, and maybe you know it, but I don't, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. A pleasure talking to you listeners out there. Sam in Missouri, welcome to the broadcast.
Boy, what a pleasure it is to hear you over here, Chris.
I meant to call you today.
Hey, that's quite okay, but it's an absolute blessing to hear you over here, and this information needs to get out, and I'm glad to see that that you're able to get it out. And, you know, there's just so much that is not being talked about out there, and we're finally getting to the root of the issue. One thing I want to mention.
Thank you, Sam.
No, you bet, absolutely. One thing I want to mention in light of this situation that we've had here recently with the attacks over in London, and they, of course, naturally, they're ratcheting up the fear factor over here in the United States in response to it. I've seen some stuff running on WorldNet Daily, and my personal opinion, I think WorldNet Daily is just a shill for the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Based on some of the writing that I see up there. They put out enough stuff just to make you think that they're on the good side of things, and then occasionally you'll see Joseph Farah and his bunch waddling over and buying the establishment line. So
uh-huh.
I've come to the conclusion that these people are energy wasters in the sense that they're heightening up the fear factor just like everybody else. But the interesting thing that has come out of all of this, and this is, I've been calling around on a lot of shows talking about this.
Good.
If we should have an attack, as was proclaimed could happen by WorldNet Daily over the weekend through supposed intelligence sources that they had, always remember who got us into this situation. Do not buy what the sheeple are going to buy out there, and that is the fact. Don't buy the martial law scenario, because these people got us here. They left the borders open, and they're implementing the agendas, as we've talked about, the UN agendas that are implementing this policy. And so the thing we have to remember is how we got here, and that ultimately we have to positively, no matter what they say to try to wiggle out of it, we have to hold the people that are running this country responsible for why we're getting into this mess should one of these attacks occur.
That's a good point. The Hegelian dialectic is working very well, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely working very well.
Oh,
and
geez.
You noticed that before all this came down, Chris, Bush's popularity was certainly waning in the view of the Downing Street memos that came out and various other things that were happening. The support for the war was waning. Tony Blair was certainly in big trouble over in England. The European Union was in big trouble, and so they needed this attack over there or wherever they could foist one off on the public at large to rally the support, because they know that the natural tendency is for the public to buy right into the fear factor.
Absolutely. Well stated. And the fact that the transit system was attacked, part of the Agenda 21 in Iraq, I'm sorry, in the UK, is encouraging mass transit, people getting on mass transit, getting out of their cars.
Absolutely. And the way this article is written had the thumbprints of CIA all over it, because they were talking about how major cities were going to be attacked, possibly mass transit here in the U.S., but it also read on, don't think that you're safe out in rural America because Al-Qaeda is going to attack you here. We're, you know, it was talking as if it was somebody from Al-Qaeda. And, of course, we all know what Al-Qaeda is. It's a front organization. And who else could word things quite like that except some inside operative?
Well, and once again, we really aren't told anything about what the CIA does, MI6 in England, the former KGB, which is the FSB now, the Mossad, secretive organizations inside the government that manipulate the Hegelian dialectic.
That's right, and that's why people are going to have to understand what's going on here if they're going to ultimately hold the right parties responsible or possibly thwart the attacks, because otherwise we're just going to go right down the same scenario. The troops are going to be rallied again, you know, in support of the president and whomever, and everybody's going to scream, save us. And what it reminds me of, Chris, reminds me of a story that broke when I was living up in the Chicago area back in the late 70s, early 80s, about this arsonist that was running around setting fires up on the northwest side. And as the week progressed and these fires kept going on every night, the one thing they noticed in common was that every time the fire department would show up to put them out, there was always this person eager to help them. And it turned out that this was the arsonist, and he was setting these fires because of the thrill-seeking of going around and helping put them out after he had set them.
Oh, my.
So this is what I see the powers that be doing here through a lot of their shenanigans. They create the problem or ride in on a problem that is created due to some dastardly thing they do somewhere else in somebody else's business. And then they, the arsonists, which I kind of like to refer to them as, come along as the saviors to help put out the fires they create. And the way they put them out is worse than what we could have ever been into before the situation ever happened.
Yeah, and I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, here we see Blair was hosting the G8 summit when the attacks happened. Well, gee, didn't that take all the pressure off of them?
Isn't it interesting? Tavistock Square was one of the places where an attack occurred, a Rockefeller-created institution there.
Oh, isn't that interesting? As I have information on the site that I found from Barrett Schultz regarding Elian Gonzalez. Remember Elian?
Oh, yes.
He's been taken under the umbrella of the Tavistock Institute. The American, I'm sorry, I'm, there's another organization he's a part of. That would be, it's so great to have Dennis the Menace up there getting this information. The Aspen Institute for Humanistic Studies, along with the Tavistock Institute for Human Relations. And this is very, very important information. It's rather dated, but the point is, Elian Gonzalez will come out someday as being a devout communist and a believer of the communist way.
Oh, absolutely, because they'll work overtime to brainwash his little butt so that he'll come out that way.
Yeah, it's such a sad scenario. The entire family, according to this information, is sort of under house arrest and monitored wherever they are. So it's great information on the website. It's very, very, very relevant to today, even though it's somewhat dated information. It's just Barrett Schultz does great information. There's a lot of us out here that do good work, and she's above and beyond most of them, like Nancy Levant.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you, it's good having these people out there, because there's far too few that are really putting forth the message as to how it really is. And we just have to keep trying to get the word out to as many people as possible. That's why I'm so just overjoyed that you're here, because there's a lot of people listening to this broadcast, and there's a lot of stuff that you know and that we know. And that each one of us are doing our own research in our own areas, and yours is probably one of the most in-depth on Agenda 21, and so it's very important we get that message out. So thanks again, Chris, for being there, and feel free to catch up with us anytime if you need to get a hold of us later.
I appreciate you, Sam. Thank you very, very much.
You hang in there.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. That was Sam. Sam and Trish are just amazing listeners. They're just amazing. Let's take Phyllis in Ohio. Phyllis, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, Chris, I can't tell you how delighted I am to hear you again. I've lost touch with a few folks these past years, and I finally found Robbie Noel. I found you today, and I think this reminder will let you know what I'm calling about. It was 30 years ago, the 19th of this month, that my son, who was the first American to give not serving the United Nations, gave his life in Rhodesia.
Oh, I remember so well.
Thank you.
Yes, I remember. I remember
John,
you and what you went through, and my goodness, is not Zimbabwe under terrible persecution today?
And the people have never even heard of Rhodesia. They don't know what you're talking about.
That's
but I would like to let you know that after all these years, I did manage the Christian Patriot Association Book Publishers did do a second printing gratis of John's journal.
Oh, gee.
And there are only about 800 copies left now. And these folks, the publisher has been put in prison on trumped-up IRS charges. And Jeffrey Weekly, who was the little pastor that worked part-time for them, they put him away, and they have put the publisher's wife in a halfway house.
My goodness.
So these are some more political prisoners that we have on the scene.
Well, isn't that terrible?
So, John's journal is so relevant today with the truth and also with this draft coming up. I've been trying to reach these parents.
Are you available to come on the air anytime soon?
Oh, I sure am. I am now. We've had a lot of sickness in our family. That's why. But we've been in this fight 50 years, Chris, and I won't give up. I just lost my husband last September.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that.
And had a lot of sickness in our family, but we haven't quit, and we won't quit. And
well,
I wondered, are you on another network? You know, I'm just trying to get caught up with these things.
Well, I do a show on another network, First Amendment Radio. I've been doing that for a couple of years.
Well, what I'm getting at, I recently sent a box of John's journal off to Robbie Noel. He had interviewed me, too, as you had done.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to send you some copies, too, and then I let you folks have the proceeds, whatever you can get from it, to help your cause. That's the only way I have of helping, because I don't have cash, I don't have money, and the book was never, you know, done for personal glory for us or anything. It's a way to get it out.
Well, it's very, very important, and I appreciate that thought, and certainly I'll give you that information. You don't have a computer, I take it?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm 7 or 8 years old, and I'm in the dark here, but...
Well, I do understand, but John was your son's name?
John Coey, C-O-E-Y.
Yes.
The book was A Martyr Speaks.
This was so important because he was in Vietnam too, right?
No, he wasn't.
He didn't go to Vietnam because he knew what was going to happen.
That's
in Vietnam.
Right, because he would not serve under the United Nations, and this was his alternative.
See, there's the point, listeners. The Vietnam War was a United Nations operation. The CETO Agreement, the CETO Treaty, Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, brought it about that way. Rules of engagement for Vietnam. We were set up to lose. It was just a little worse than Korea. And Korea was a gigantic disaster. We had 8,000 POWs in Korea because of the cold weather and snow. They just gave up. And then they were shipped off to the Soviet Union and Communist China to be used as guinea pigs and whatever else they could be used for. This was chronicled by the Helms Report of 1991. All the staff of the Jesse Helms were fired because of this POW report. And so John went to Rhodesia to fight communism because he thought it would be a beneficial direction, correct?
That's right. He served in two ways. He stood for the political truth and his personal Christian witness. And he gave his life trying to save his wounded men where he was serving as a medic.
Why don't
you? And they were caught in an ambush.
And the point is communism dead?
No, of course not.
Not by any means of the word, is it?
And another reason his journal is so relevant today with all this meeting and all this aid that we're going to be giving to Africa again.
Yeah.
I mean, his journal is just so in tune with the things today.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If I have a way to contact you, or I could leave my number for you to contact me or something.
Why don't you do that? Leave your number. With the board operator.
With the board, all right.
And I'll be happy to return your call.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I'll look forward to that, Phyllis.
All right, I will too. God bless you.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Phyllis Coey, and certainly she has endured a lot of pain in her life. To lose a son, to lose a daughter, to lose a son in his quest to help save Rhodesia from slavery, which is Zimbabwe today. And you can see in today's date on my website, AmericanExpose.com, dated July 11th, Mugabe's Revenge, Man Who Quit Faces Losing Farm. Refugee exodus from Zimbabwe due to cleanup. They're destroying homes in Zimbabwe. destroy your home or the bulldozers will. All from AfricanCrisis.org. That's Jan Lemprecht. Here we see Uganda. HIV could wipe out fishing communities. It's amazing the information that is able to be transferred around the globe because of the Internet, which was designed to control us from the beginning to the start, to the end. Here we go. We're going to be back in a moment. Take your calls. Stay with me. I'm Chris Kerner, filling in for John Stadmiller this afternoon. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Intel Report. The National Intel Report. I'm Chris Kerner, filling in for John Stadmiller today and tomorrow. Big day tomorrow in the broadcasting in for me. The point is that we are enveloped into these deceptions, and the G8 is a great one. And here we see Putin lashes out against Mugabe. Mugabe is in Zimbabwe, the former Rhodesia. And this is for our consumption because ultimately, the Ford Foundation wants us to merge with Russia, and I don't see that changing at all at this point in time. And what is Jan Lemprecht says, similarly, Putin recently said the world should support the USA in Iraq, but as a friend, and I have been speculating, this is Jan, perhaps the real reason is that Putin really doesn't want the USA to leave Iraq, where U.S. forces are being pinned down year after year by the furious terror war there. And certainly this is the deception that we live today. Our military is overseas in 135 countries, according to various sources. And then we have this situation with the G8. Recently announced moves to write off debts worth $40 billion under the Highly Indebted Poor Countries Initiative, owed by African countries to the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and the African Development Bank. Only 18 countries would benefit from the write-off, 14 of them from Africa. Keep in mind, the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. governor of the IMF, the World Bank, and the African Development Bank, and the Asian Development Bank. Keep that in mind. We have governors that have allegiances to other countries. The Secretary of the Treasury receives no compensation from the United States as a governor of the International Monetary Fund. So the documentation speaks for itself. Let's take some more phone calls. Keep in mind that number, 800-313-9443. A pleasure to talk to all you callers out there. 800-313-9443. Let's take John in New York. Welcome, John.
Hi, Chris. I didn't know if you were aware of that, but I've just informed that on the Black's Law book, the 8th edition is the newest edition out.
Mm-hmm.
In the old 7 for 7 editions, there used to be a definition for the United States of America as a corporation of the States of America. And in the 8th edition, that is deleted now.
There, really?
It's like a historical point. So if we're not as a definition in the law book, is there a definition of a law that we follow? You know, it's no different than how far do they break the laws? They didn't vote on something that was even in print on a Patriot Act, and we know they've coerced, you know, hoard them in any direction you want to talk about. They're making us sick through plastic. They're making us sick through our food. They're making in GM foods. They're making us sick through poisons in the foods.
What about the aerial spraying?
The aerial spraying, the chemtrails.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, how far do we just kind of, oh, well, we follow the rule of putting our seatbelt on, even though you guys can talk on your cell phones. And I went to Boston last week. I had my kids were in a dance program, and we visited Boston, and what a terror of a town that is to try to drive around.
Uh-huh.
But in the interim of it, we went to the 4th of July there. It was fantastic as far as the operations, but they had $900,000 worth of fireworks there, and they had the four Mauser cannons, and they had the band going. We were about 200 yards from the cone where the band was set up. I could actually watch the conductor move his arms and everything.
John, do you have more to say?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's keep you over into the second hour. Boy, that was a fast first hour. We'll be right back with the National Intel Report. I'm Chris Kerner, filling in for John Stadmiller. Stay with us and take your calls.